I just asked, when that started, I asked Dina, I said, what does the days of Elijah mean to you? Well, would anybody like to share? It means day of great miracles. Elijah did 7 major miracles. Elisha did double portion, 14. He was dead when he did one of them. That last guy got thrown in the cave and hit his bones and boom, was dead and came alive. That's the power of our God. And what a time to stir up the body of Christ. What a time. We need to think about what that song was saying. That's the Old Testament, they say. We can't go back there. And I don't want to go back there. I don't want to walk all over the country. I'd rather ride, hadn't you? I like air conditioning and heat. Amen.
Running water.
Amen. So the days of Elijah being the key thing, what was he like? He was just a little sweet little guy, wasn't he? No, he wasn't sweet much. But the power of God moved in him. Those days back then, who was the king of Israel? Ahab. Who was his wife? Jezebel. Sound like a previous administration we've had here in the United States several years ago. You read Jonathan Cain's book and you'll understand. And of course, they have a son. Jezebel and Ahab had a son who came to be king who didn't last very long. He was illegitimate. He wasn't a real one. God told Elijah to go ordain and anoint Jehu to be king. Well, he never got around to doing it, but he told Elisha to. You see, I want things done boom, 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 boom. But God doesn't go boom, 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 boom. He knows people's hearts. He knows who's calling on him, who's not, and he's weaving in and out of the traffic to make sure everybody is done, is treated right, everybody has an opportunity. So Elisha goes and anoints Jehu. Now Jehu was rough as a cob, as we say in the South. He was a soldier. He was one bad dude like the Marines. He was God's first hot rodder, because the Bible says he drove his chariot furiously. The enemy's watching him come from the watchtower, going across the desert, and he's driving so fast, they say, that's got to be Jehu. It's in the Bible, because he's driving furiously. He's one of those guys that they put the pedal to the metal, like some of y'all do when you drive. And then here they go. And Jehu took care of Ahab. He took care of Jezebel. Amen? I can just picture that scene in my mind when he pulled up in the streets there. And you see those horses coming to a halt. And then the fog of the dust goes. You know, like it does. Like in those westerns, Danny, that you and I watch and stuff. And then the dust clears. Where's Jezebel? She's hiding up in her tower. And she shouts out, murderer, da-da-da, whatever. And he is confident. He reminds me of somebody else we know. His name's Donald Trump. He calls out and said, hey, anybody up there with her? He's not a diplomat. Thank God. He's not a politician. Anybody up there with her? And some eunuchs. And I don't have to tell you what they are, but they're men. Anyway, they stick their heads out and say, we are. He said, throw her down. Boom. Splat. And the prophecy was that the dogs would eat her up. And they did. The prophecies will come to pass.
Right.
Church. sink your teeth into it. Sink your faith into it. Don't bend, don't bow, don't budge. Somebody's already in the fire that they won't throw you into. His name's Jesus.
Right.
He's already been there, done that. He's already defeated hell, death, and the grave.
Right.
So what? And Jesus, if you don't, we're going to be with you. We don't care. This world has no dominion over you. Zero dominion over you unless you give it to it. Our dominion comes from heaven. God's word is final authority. The name of Jesus is above every name. That is named is above the United States. It's above Joe Biden. It's above the Democrat, above the Republican. It's above anybody and anything. It's above COVID. It's above everything. I mean, it's above it. That name Jesus weaponizes you to have absolute victory. Remember those three things we talked about two or three Sundays ago? About the resurrection. What does a resurrection do? It positions you to be untouchable by the world. Who else walks around this world resurrected? You do. You were a dead man walking. You were a dead woman walking. Till you invited Jesus to come in, then both of y'all just walked out of the tomb together. You got up from that altar, and praise be to God, that's where the tomb was, and you got up and walked out the door. Your life changed forever. Who can touch us? Nobody. Nobody. Well, we ain't done yet. Nobody. The days of Elijah. Oh, I wish it was like the days of Elijah. Well, if you wanted to be a part of that, you'd have to follow Elijah around because it was just one of them. You have to be like Elisha, who would not quit. And that's where we are. We say we want something, but we're not willing to cross the river to get it. Even Elisha's and Elijah's sons, spiritual sons and brothers, we're laughing at him. Laughing at Elijah. Don't you know the master's leaving? What are you doing? Follow him around. He said, I'll not leave. Now, I think the Lord is, I'm listening because I think the Lord is laying something out and setting the groundwork on who we are and what we need to be doing. Following Elijah. We get to follow Jesus.
Yes.
But he said, oh, don't. No, we can't touch it. He said, come be with me. He's with us all the time. His spirit is in us. Elisha followed Elijah. Even Elijah said, go back. What do you want? So we'll go to another town. What did Elisha say? I'll not leave you till I see. Well, they go from town to town to town. Now, I want you to think about this now. They weren't riding around in a limo. They're walking. It's hot and dry. And Elijah is about to leave the planet. He's already told him, God showed him. And how? How did he leave? Whirlwind. Horses came, the chariot of fire. He went up in the whirlwind. Okay. So the other sons of the prophets, they just hit off just to go and see what's going to happen. Sound like anybody y'all know? Yeah, you see them in the mirror most of the time. Let's just go see what happens at church. I wonder what's going to happen now. I wonder what's going to happen next week. We know what's going to happen. We win. It don't matter what kind of battle or what you have to do to fight. We just know we're going to win the fight. Those Marines know they're going to win.
Yeah.
You have to have that kind of attitude to go into something or you'll be defeated every time. Amen? And we are really deceiving ourselves when we think that, look, y'all, we have the advantage. We're fighting from the top of the hill. We have the blood. Let me go back to my little regress to where I was a while ago. The resurrection positions us where we are untouchable. Who can take it away from you? Okay, then the next thing, it was three things. It was the resurrection, then it was the name Jesus. And the name of Jesus is above every name that's named. At the mention of that name, every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory to God the Father. So, we have Jesus gave us personally, and Mark 16 gave us his name to use. Let me see something here. He gave us his name to use. I'm really sticking my neck out, but anyway. Diane, this is my checkbook and my name. You use it anywhere you want to. You defeat the devil in my name. When my name is seen and known, they have to bow. Wherever you walk, every room you walk into, you walk in with that name. Boom, that's your trump card. Boom, top that. He has given us his name. That weaponized us. We got the biggest, baddest weapon that has ever been known. Worse, bigger and more powerful than the nuclear bomb. The name of Jesus. Now, don't think in the natural. Don't think in physical. Don't think in flesh and blood. Because we're not wrestling there. We're wrestling in the spirit. And when you say the name of Jesus with faith, let me tell you what's happening in the heavenlies. Let me tell you what's happening in hell. Every demon will bow his knee and every demon will flee in the name of Jesus. Or the Bible is not true. But we have to be like the days of Elijah. The day he called fire down and consumed the altar that had been drenched with water. Called fire down. First, Jezebel's preachers got up there and they hooped and hollered and did all they were supposed to be doing. And, you know, what was Elijah doing? He's over here fretful, Lynn. He's over here praying. He's so scared. I hope you work. I hope you're here, God. I hope. What's he doing? He's laughing at him. Hey, your God's on vacation. He knows his God. So they quit. They can't do anything. Now it's Elijah's turn. Church, it is our turn. If we want the days of Elijah, now it's our turn to step up to the plate. He is so. Now this is how we need to be. We sing the song. He said, boys, before we do and get the fire going and all that stuff, just drench this whole thing with water. And they drenched it with water. It was just running away. The water was running away so much. Then what did he do? Lord, send your fire. Boom! It exploded like lightning. Then what did he do? He invited all the prophets of Baal over to his house for a kumbaya session. And they had a glass of wine. Oh, we don't want to offend that bunch. What did he do? He cut their head off. We said, ooh, how gross. Every time the children got into the land of a promise in Canaan land, and he went to the next place, God would say, kill every person there. God, he's mean. No, God knows what happened when you mix the blood. He knows what's happened when you start socializing with the world. So don't mix with that bunch. But they did. That's why the Jews and the heathens can't get along. It is true. Right back to Abraham and Sarah and that other woman. Glory to God. The days of Elijah are here. Let's stir up the gift that calls down fire from heaven. God never called us to kill anybody. In fact, he says, do not do that. He said, you go in the world and preach the gospel and they be saved. That is our goal and our mission. But when we preach the gospel, it's like a coal of ashes on the devil's head. It'll break strong men's wills and bring them into the harvest. And women's. I'm looking at a room full of you right now. We were hell-bent, folks. And having a good time, we thought. Till life got so miserable, we called out for help. And God turned his back on us. He didn't. He did not. He said, this is the moment I've been waiting on. Come on in. Born again. Resurrected. The name of Jesus. Now, what about the blood? That's the third thing. The blood. What about the blood? Resurrection positioned us as an untouchable. Sin has no more dominion over you. That doesn't mean you don't sin. Doesn't mean you can just do it. No, doesn't mean that. But it means it does not have a stranglehold on you. Jesus broke that. Now you are made right in his eyes. Okay? Then you get the name of Jesus to use, which weaponizes us. Then you get the blood, which preserves you throughout eternity. The blood, just one drop is all it took. But he gave more than that, I believe. It says his body, his blood poured out of him. And he took that blood and went to heaven. Clean the heavenly utensils. That's a good study for you to do. He did that. Everything's made right. These are the days of Elijah. It's not time to sit around wringing our hands in fear. It's a time to show God's compassion and love like never before. Because it's the goodness of God that turns people's hearts. Amen. You're going to go to hell if you don't quit smoking them cigarettes. Chewing that backer. Talking back to me. Jimmy Sandham, he's jumping up and down up there. You're going to go to hell. Your hair's too long. Blaine tells about that, can't he? Going to hell because your hair's too short. Men's hair's too long. Women's hair's too short. We got to get this figured out. From the looks of most of y'all women, y'all ain't going to make it. Y'all all been to the beauty shop. Got your ears lowered. Aren't you glad God is not as trivial as hair? It's the heart. These are the days of Elijah. And Elijah had sons of the prophets. But one of them followed him. Lynn, I want to be that one. You want to go with me? Anybody else want to go with me? Yeah. You want to be that one? You want to be that Elisha? Elisha? That followed him even though people were making fun? Elisha believed in the prophet. He wasn't a spectator. Pretty exciting what's going to happen. But you know what? He wanted what the prophet had. He wanted the anointing. Do we want the anointing?
Yes.
Do we want the anointing so bad that we'll drive to Franklin, Tennessee with my girlfriends and get in the room and pray and heaven fall in on them? It happened to them. It'll happen to all of us if we'll position ourselves and seek His face. He won't run. He'll come in. But He's not like the devil. He comes in when He's invited. God does. The devil, he'll bulldoze you. And if you ever feel like you're pressured to bulldoze, you know it's not God. God's a gentle spirit and a good spirit. He has a soft voice. But let me tell you something. When He speaks truth. So Elisha follows him from town to town to town to town. Let's just say like went from Oklahoma and he walked on up to Shannon. Then they went all the way up to Tupelo. Then he went over to Fulton where the river was. And Elijah said, I must cross to the other side. Here's a story in this is a great lesson. You can follow people all you want. But you'll never get what they have till you cross that river with them. Until you make up your mind totally, I'm going all the way with God. No children here. Come hell or high water. I'm going across. I'm following you. When did Elisha get all this stuff? And when did Elijah leave? When they crossed that river Jordan. Was it Jordan? Can't remember. It was a river. Anyway, crossed the river. When you get to the other side and nobody can come across to tempt you or put you down or influence you is the word I'm looking for. You get so far to the other side with God that nobody, no thing can influence you. You've been in services like that before in church right here. You got so far in God. I mean, somebody said the building's on fire. You said, so what? Because we're with God. How bad do we want to be with God? Will we follow Him all over the country, all over the world, and do what He says? The answer is yes, and I know you will. But they crossed the river. How did they cross the river? Elijah takes his mantle, this garment around his neck, which represents the anointing, and he smokes the water, as the King James says, and they walk across. Only when you get over in the supernatural do you know the things of God. You can be a spectator. Oh, wasn't that a great service? It was. You should have been there with me. In the middle of it, I got it. I experienced the touch of God. And when he got to the other side, Elijah finally said, what do you want? Another great lesson for all of us. What would God, if God were to ask you tonight, what do you want? I want one of those big four-wheel drive pickups. Four-wheel drive, so I can put loud pipes on it. I want this. I want that. All that stuff's going to burn up. Wear out. Our correct answer is this. I want you. I want God. More than I want air to breathe. That's what Elisha said. I want what you got. Nobody on planet Earth has got what Elijah's got. And he has shaken the whole kingdom. This one man. The church has billions of members. And we're not shaking many leaves here lately. But we're about to. God is in this. So he gets across to the other side and he says, I want a double portion of what you have. What time is it? 8. I don't have my watch, so I have privileges. It broke. Anyway, I'm just about done. He got to the other side. He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. I want to do twice what you did. If I could just do what Elijah did. Nope. That ain't enough. We want more. My grandma was a great Christian. But I want more than what she had. I want more than what I'm doing right now. I want more. How do you do that? Following God. Seeking His face. Assembling. Praying. Doing things. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Because he had his portion. Right? How's he going to give a double? He only has one. Impossible. Danny, I want twice all you got. If you were willing, you'd give me all you have. But you can't give me twice because you don't have it to give. Elijah paused and God said this. He looked at Elijah. He said, Elijah, if you see me going and catch my mantle, you'll have a double portion. God spoke that through Elijah. And about that time comes a fiery chariot, horses of fire. You horse riders, y'all ought to like that. From heaven, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming down, and here is a tornado, a whirlwind. But what did God say for Elisha to do? If you see me, go. Elijah said, if you see me, go. Catch my mantle. You'll have a double portion. What are we saying? Holy Spirit is saying this. Keep your eyes on the prophet. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Word of God. Don't let anybody, anything stop you from pursuing all that God has for you. Just how hungry are we? Most of us, I'll speak for me, I'm hungry till I get uncomfortable. Then I stop being hungry. And I go eat me some potato chips and watch a football game. Is that going to send me to hell? Probably not. It's going to stunt my growth, though. And all this happened. And Elisha said, the horses, the chariot, the whirlwind. But I see you, Elijah. And he saw the mantle come down from the sky. He went and picked it up. You got to keep your eyes. Now, let's just be really human all of a sudden. What would you have been looking at? What would I have been looking at that day? A fiery chariot and horses from the heavens? That's what I'd be looking at. And then that whirlwind, that tornado, we better get out of here. You keep your eye on the man of God. You keep your eye on the Word of God. Cross that river supernaturally. You did it when you said yes to Jesus. And He put you into His kingdom. But now, Elisha picks up the mantle. How's he going to get back? There's a river. You see, that's another problem. Oh, what if I get out there with God and I can't get back? Well, you get back like you went. By the Spirit. He walks up to the river. And King James' word is smote. He said, he hit the water with that mantle and said, where is the God of Elijah? That's what I want to hear. Boom. The water parted. And he walked across. Hadn't done any miracles yet, Darrell. He'll only do 14. But that's double. Double for your trouble. He goes across. All sorts of things. All hell breaks loose for Elisha. What a man of God. What if we don't follow? If he had not followed Elijah, there would be no Elishas. If we don't follow Jesus, there'd be no people to carry the message on. Let's bring those prayer requests. That just sucked me big time a while ago. Let's give the hand clap to the man of God up here that played the song. Because it's just perfect for us today. And when you see Marines at Camp Pendleton, they're not out here on bivouac somewhere. Just a few little Christians, you know. Like at the football game, you know, after the game you have about 10, 20 get them praying, the rest of them are, you know, I'm not saying they're not Christian, but I'm just saying, you know, all of them were dancing and praising God. Let's bring those prayer requests down. Yeah, but they have witches, you know, as chaplains. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Obama. Thank you, Obama. Thank you that you're not there anymore, at least officially. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank y'all. Y'all ready to pray? Oh, I got something right here. Did you put my name on there?
I did.
Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you've instructed us tonight to live the days of Elijah. Lord God, let that be our rally cry. What we hear in the morning when we wake up and when we go to bed. Lord, call your army to attention. And lead us to march in victory. Lord, as we lay our hands on these precious names, Lord God, of precious people, we pray, Lord God, that the fire of the Holy Ghost would burn away all the chaff and produce miracles in their lives. Father God, reveal the truth. Raise them up. Bless them. In Jesus' mighty name, I lift up our church and I lift up all churches. Lord God, that they all be filled with your glory and filled with your people. Lord, I thank you for the vision you gave us the other day. You are rounding up your church. People are coming from all over the world and they're coming here. They come into churches where the word of God is preached. They need help. And Lord God, we will be here. It's going to be like the days of Elijah. One greater than Elijah lives within us. And his name is Jesus. Lord, we give you praise for all this. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody love them before you go. Don't forget we're having a board meeting here in just a minute. We're having a meeting because we're so bored. Is that right? Hallelujah.